Well, we had a pretty good run of weather for our Mass on the grass. I guess it's inevitable that eventually we would run into some bad weather. My apologies to those who didn't get the notice about that. Next time we will send out an email. We do intend to keep the Mass on the grass going through at least the end of October, as long as the weather is on our side. Recently, we have been reflecting a lot on the parables of Jesus. If you recall, last Sunday, we heard about the landowner and the workers that he hired to send into his vineyard. And today, we have this brief story of the man and his two sons. I think that this parable of the father and his sons is a particularly powerful one, because I think we can all relate to this story. How many of you who are parents have asked your children to do something and they don't do it? Clean your room. Eat your vegetables. How many tell them to do something and maybe eventually they'll get around to it? This parable invites us to reflect on our relationship with God and how we respond to Him. The Father in the parable stands for God. And we call God our Father every time we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. And this relationship is no mere metaphor or analogy. We don't say that God is like our Father. We say our Father. That is because in baptism, we are adopted as sons and daughters of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Baptism confers on us sonship in the kingdom of God, which means that God is our Father. We are incorporated into His family. We who were once alienated from God by that sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve, the sacrament of baptism erases that, and God adopts us as His own. Baptism imparts to our souls a seal, a mark, you might call it. In theological terms, we call it a character. So that when God looks on our soul, He sees the mark of His Son. He sees Jesus in us. Whenever I celebrate a baptism, I always tell the parents that their children will leave church looking the same, but being very different. Because in the sacrament of baptism, their souls are marked as followers of Jesus Christ. So while they look the same leaving church, they have become a new creation. Baptism is truly a new birth. The language of going down into the font and rising up with Christ isn't just beautiful words. It's a true reality. And because it is a true reality, this adoption, our baptism, has a practical implication in our lives. Our deepest identity is that I am a son or daughter of God. So I can live my life without fear, without being afraid of what the world or the devil throws at me, because I know who I am. I know that God will not abandon me, that He is a loving Father, and He is very much concerned about me and my life. It's when I don't live as God's son or daughter that my life starts to go off the rails. It's when I put other things in place of God in my life that things become difficult. If we think about the last half a year and this pandemic and the fear that has entered our lives. Some people have been paralyzed by this fear, hiding in their homes. And while it is reasonable to take proper precautions in this situation, we can't let our fear paralyze us, because my deepest identity is as a son or daughter of God. And I know that God has my best interests in mind. So while we don't know the purposes of God, why this has come into our lives, we do know that God can bring good from it. If we think about times when we have tried to replace God with something else, we realize that we go run into trouble. Think about addiction. When we have addiction in our lives, we are taking that thing and trying to replace God's place in our lives with it. That's when we can run into trouble. Imagine how our lives would be different if you lived according to your dignity as a son or daughter of God. We then, in the parable, encounter the two sons. With God as our Father, we can examine our relationship with Him through the sons. The second son doesn't listen to his father. He pays him lip service, but refuses to do what his father asks. Are there times when we pay lip service to God? When we refuse to be moved by the gospel message? Or cordon off parts of our lives or our heart and don't invite God in? We might say that the second son is really a hypocrite, because he says one thing with his words, but then does another thing with his actions. His actions show that he has totally cut himself off from his father. But yet the first son really stands for all of us sinners. When we want to do what God asks of us, but yet we struggle and fail. Jesus says tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of the righteous people because they have had an experience of repentance, of conversion. All of us are sinners. We have done things that we regret, things we have left undone. And some people hold on to their past failures for years and years. But this relationship between the son and his father demonstrates to us that God wants that repentance. He desires us to turn to him so that he can give us the gift of freedom to move on. And that's why the sacrament of reconciliation or confession is so powerful. It forgives our sins, restores us to friendship with our Father, and gives us the graces that we need to persevere in our faith. My friends, Jesus said that he came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. In the second reading today, St. Paul told us about how Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, becoming man, so that he can take all of his brothers and sisters up to God. That's what he wants to do for us. What a privilege it is to have God as our Father, to cry out, "Our Father," and to know that Jesus has emptied himself so that we can be raised to the glory of heaven.